I said yesterday that I didn't just lose a friend. I lost a brother of mine. And I felt very awkward because I saw Country on Friday. And we were able to hold his hand and to pray for him. He was able to pass at home with family gathered around, and I knew it was time. Just could see his body and see the fight that was going on. And you may say, if some of this idea of faith in God is new to you or foreign or something that the enemy has blinded or wounded you, and you've decided it's all just hogwash. There is something about being sad and brokenhearted, but yet being able to say and sing at the same time, "It is well with my soul." My hope is today that through His Word that we offer some of that hope that is found in a way that can be, a song can be sung like that in a time like this when we hurt. And I was reminded by a friend, I prayed this earlier with the group that gathered around the truck, that I said, I feel so weird in this because I know that he is better off. He's not hurting anymore. He is healed and whole and home, but yet I hurt. That's weird, right? I should be so happy. And this brother reminded me that even Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. And Jesus knew everything. He knew that he was about to raise his friend, but he was sad that he was losing a friend, even for a brief moment in time. I want to read a couple of verses this morning, the best I can, because I'll be honest, sometimes the word pastor, in fact, some of you will walk by and say, "Morning, Reverend, morning, Pastor." I want you to know you can call me Keith. I'm just a normal dude, right? But sometimes with those words, it almost feels like there is this some kind of supernatural above relationship that I have with God that others don't. First, I want to let you in on a little secret. That's not true. I don't have everything figured out. I hurt just like you hurt, and honestly question God in moments like this and question my faith and look for hope and struggle for answers and struggle for meaning just like anyone else. Sometimes maybe even more in certain situations. But then, if I can be honest, even in a moment like this, I don't even know where Jesse's at this moment right now, right here. Jesse, you will remember this and can back it up as true. A little church plant called the church at Southside, when we actually met on the Southside. We got a building. We had grown from a house church to a building, and Jesse and some friends came to lead us in worship that day and sang "A Beautiful Letdown." A beautiful letdown. And I was sitting with my wife over there, and I said, "Man, hasn't this come a long way to look at what God has given us?" So even in that, a beautiful moment between me and God this morning of just thankfulness to where we are. Country was a big part of that. Country, to know him was to love him. And I just want to say, as I said earlier this morning to some, that I know Jesus more just by having known Country, just by simply being his friend and being around him. And it might not even be a conversation about Jesus, but just Jesus just came out of Country as you got to share with him. I want to read some verses this morning and go somewhere that, again, it seems like this is the theme out here, but this was not what I planned to speak on this week. Didn't know that yesterday was going to happen the way it did. And so, honestly, even up to this morning, I didn't know what I was going to say, and maybe still don't, but God will lead. So, can I just read a couple of verses and just let you into your pastor's heart of this? When I needed hope, when I needed answers, when I felt insufficient on my own, I turned to the Word of God, and these are some verses that came to mind. 1 Peter 1:3-6 says this, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. You understand that, right? Not just a good, not just a moderate amount, not just a dash, but a great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Country's not dead. I know that sounds really weird to come and tell you that country is past. Country is more alive and more well than he's ever known. He has seen the Master's face. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven, guarded. Listen to this. Who by God's power is being guarded through faith for salvation. This day was guarded and kept by a holy God, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though for a little while. If necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to be result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. For by grace, Ephesians 2:8-10 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. If we were to stand here and pass the mic and say, tell me something good about country, a lot could be said. You see, I'm going to have the honor to speak at his funeral, and one of the statements about a funeral is, don't live your life in such a way that a pastor has to lie at you over your funeral. I won't have to do that. I'll say some good things over country and they will be truth, but nothing he could do on his own could earn salvation. Here's what God's word says. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. A gift, not a result of work, so that anyone can boast. Country will not stand before God and say, I came to the church at Southside and I served food, or I helped someone, or I gave money to someone. I helped someone need, which, by the way, he did. Once homeless himself, I know, opened his home to others who found themselves in situations. People slept on the couch and people had food in their belly because of them and their heart. But he won't brag on any of that. It's going to be the gift that was given by Jesus Christ and his cross. Listen to this. It says, for we are his workmanship. Some scripture says masterpiece. Some translations say a masterpiece, a work of art. I want you to know that I am testifying this morning that country was a masterpiece. But so are you. So am I, warts and all, sin and all. We are a workmanship, a masterpiece created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Then 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 says, so that we do not lose heart. I want to tell you that heart is valuable. Heart has been stolen. It's been assaulted early on in our life, and it is vital to take back. And it says this, that we do not lose heart. In other words, gain your heart back over this, that though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. I want you to listen to this. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. You see, I stood at the sink last night with my wife. We were preparing for today. Both of us kind of numb. Both of us, I think, crying at this moment. And Jamie asked me the question, what do you think country's doing in this moment right now? I'm overcome because God's word says that beyond all comparison, meaning that there is nothing that we could paint, no description that we could place, no drawing that we could have out, no words that we can humanly fathom to say what he's experiencing right now. It is beyond all comparison. Your best day, your very best day, the things that pile up, you say, that's a top five memory of my life, pale in comparison to the eternal weight. Do you hear the word? Even the weight of the glory Here's what I believe that means, is that when Country left this life, there was no suffering. There was no moments where we have to pray him in somewhere else. He was there in the moments with God, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And he was standing there, and all of these momentary afflictions, him laying in his bed and just waiting for this moment, all of those paling in comparison, every trial, every tribulation, living out on the street, the hardships of life, it says that he stood there and there was a weight of glory that weighted him beyond all comparison. But we are left here, as the scripture continues, those that look at things that are seen, but there are things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Country will never die again. Thank you, brother. He is there. He will be forever. No more death. Country is in the eternal. Again, if you hear my words this morning, don't let me paint it as that Country was such a good guy that this was some gift bestowed on him that's not going to be bestowed on you. It was only because the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, the gift, the payment that Jesus paid, not just for Country, but for you and me, no matter what we've done, what we're doing, or what we will do. Available for all. I'm humbled at the question that Jamie asked, what is Country doing right now? Beyond all comparison. I want to take you to scripture this morning. As I found hope in these verses, I really honestly felt led to take you back to the very start of it all. You see, there was this moment in creation where God created all of these wonderful things, and then he sets human life into motion. He creates man, and then he creates woman. Beautiful perfection, Eden in all its glory. The one where we had this uninterrupted relationship with God. The one where God would show up and take walks with his creation and talk with them. And just beautiful, beautiful fellowship with God the Creator. This, if we want to see what heaven is like, the first few pages of our Bible show us that this is perfection. This is the way God intended. Jesse said it beautifully earlier, that we were never meant to die. You see, that was not God's plan. We were to live forever in this perfect fellowship, this perfect union, this perfect walk with him. And then we see that sin enters the picture. But I felt led to paint it in a different light than maybe you've ever thought about this story. You see, if you've ever grown up in church or you've been around as a child and you've heard stories of Adam and Eve, it pretty much goes like this. Then Adam and Eve were created, they sinned, they messed everything up, and God kicks them out of the garden. That's it. You've messed up. It's over. It's done. You've screwed everything up. I'm mad. I'm angry. In fact, I'm going to set some angels here with flaming swords, and you will never enter this place again. And if we aren't careful, we look at that and we see this angry God. We see this hostility between man and God. But I want to take you to some places that after this, after God tells Adam that you will return to the dust you were created from, after this moment, listen to what happens. I want you to see what happens in these beautiful moments. It says, and the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins and clothed them. You see, we know the story. We know that Adam and Eve were naked and they were afraid and they were ashamed. And they stood there and God's like, who told you that? I'm here for my walk. What happened? What's going on? Where are you, by the way? Like God didn't know, right? He knew. He wanted to invite them back into relationship. It wasn't over. It wasn't done for. And in fact, he even foreshadows the beautiful sacrifice of Jesus, that animals had to lose their life. There was this shedding of blood to make this temporary covering, to cover them in their shame and then bring them back to him. And listen to what happens. It says, then the Lord God said, behold, man has become like one of us. By the way, that's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, this triunal idea of God, this person of God having this conversation and saying he has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. It wasn't even supposed to know about evil, right? Don't eat from that tree. That's the one thing. Don't do that. But listen to what he continues on. He says, now lest he reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. In other words, God has this moment. We can't let them stay here because now sin has entered the picture. It is going to cause death. Sin brings death. It never was meant to be, but sin entered the picture. It is not God's plan that we die. He created us to live forever, and forever we will live even though we pass from this life. And in this moment, he creates this temporary covering and he says, they have become like us and we can't let them stay here. Why? Not because I'm so hacked off and mad. Not because I don't want them to be here in fellowship with me anymore. Not because they've just ruined everything. It was not like that. It was a tender moment of saying, we can't let them eat from the tree of life lest they live forever just like they are. We've got to make a way to redeem them from this sin. We can't let them live forever like this. Let's cast them out. And by the way, he even tells in the garden that there is one that is coming, one that is going to redeem mankind, one is going to make this right, one that's going to set everything right, that it will no longer be a temporary covering, no longer be animal skins, but there will be the blood of Jesus that covers all sin for all time, forever. As Jesse said beautifully to me yesterday and today, this is not punishment. This is a beautiful rescue. Saying, you've got to go from this place and I am going to make a way. I want to fast forward in my Bible to Revelation. That's kind of covering it all, right? First pages to the last. Why would God do such a thing? Why would God take us to a place of death and sorrow and all of these things? Can I tell you why? So he can redeem it and make it all new. So he can come to a place and Jesus enters the pictures and everything from there, everything is set right. Revelation 21 tells us this, John's vision of heaven and this new earth. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Can I tell you this, as someone who's had a seat at a wedding that some of you may never have had, I have had the privilege to stand there in front of a crowd and be the one standing at the center of the aisle when the bride comes down for her husband. Say vows to one another and to God. But I see a picture, a side of that maybe you've never gotten to see before. And there is nothing more beautiful than a bride coming down the walkway and just looking. She's not looking at anybody but her husband, right? It's that moment of like they've been waiting for this. They're going to celebrate their life together. And this is no mistake that this picture of this moment when Jesus sets everything right. It says, like a bride adorned for her husband. It says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. I want you to know, countries experience this in part. He is with God. He has seen God. He already knew God, but now he knows God. Man, this is beautiful. It was a beautiful rescue. Beautiful words in that, Jesse. A beautiful rescue. That country has seen his face. Can I tell you this? Who does not live in heaven? Liver cancer does not have a residency in heaven. Sin does not have a residency in heaven. I don't know countries' deep down struggles. Some of them I knew. Some of them he told me. Some of them he didn't. We all have those secret things. I can tell you this, he struggles no more. He's been made whole. He's been made fresh and anew. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Won't it be nice to be together as this family and your other family and the family of God and never have to say, whatever happened to so-and-so? Oh, man, he passed. She passed. No more. Forever. living life forever in perfection. It says, neither will there be any mourning or crying or pain, for the former things have passed away. Wouldn't that be a glorious day? The beautiful verse that I wanted to get to in this idea is this here, and God led me to this place this morning. And it says, and he who was seated on the throne said this, behold. I want you to know, I believe there's a powerful moment in that just pause, that reflection of behold. In other words, calling attention to saying, stop, just to listen. Hey, everybody look this way, right? As if we'll need to do that, right? It's God. He says, behold, I am making all things new. Everything's going to be set right. All things will be new. And listen to what he's telling John. He's giving this, as John is seeing this revelation, he's writing this down. Listen to what he says. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. How can I, with tears in my eyes this morning, sing with all my heart to know, yes, it is well with my soul, is because I know that these words are trustworthy and true. Eden will be restored, but this time, I want you to think about it, of this, there will be no serpent that enters the picture. You see, it tells us that before this, that the enemy is defeated forever. There will be no more temptation. There will be no sin. I want you to think about that. You know the temptations, the addiction, the sin that is in your life right now. You know in glimpses of how you have this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You will have that relationship and more, yet it will be unhindered by sin. There will be no sin to block any part of our relationship with Him. No temptation. Listen, we celebrate today when there's a temptation. I talked with a brother today. They said, man, I'm going into rehab. I've had that talk with several out here. No shame in that. We pray for that. God uses those things. It's ultimately God, and He uses situations like that to heal. But listen, when we celebrate even those moments of the temptation, say, man, I didn't use today. Can you imagine the day when the temptation will no longer even be there? The enemy defeated, destroyed, not just for a little while, but forever. We get to experience this relationship with God unhindered for the first time in our life. As close as you've ever felt to God now, country got us beat, right? He's with Him. JoJo, I see you over. I see you raise that hand. He said amen to that. He's closer than any of us have ever been, but if you know Him, you'll be with Him as well. Country will be a byproduct of that. I don't want to stand here and listen. You know my heart for country. I've wept for him. But to stand here and tell you, if you want to see country again, give your heart and life to Jesus, is far too small a picture. In fact, I'm going to be bold enough to say that I'm going to speak for my brother country this morning, and that he too would tell you that is too small a picture. He would tell you, if you want to feel the weight of eternal glory, if you don't want to struggle anymore with sin, if you want to be in the presence of pure perfection and holiness, if you want the gift of Jesus, would you take it for that alone? And then I'll see you. Man, I don't know what that moment's going to be like. I don't know, Jamie. I don't know what he's doing right now. But can I tell you this? I know it's good. Yeah. I miss my friend. But I was able to stand there and hold his hand and pray because I know these words are trustworthy and true. That he has seen his face. He is whole. In his home. I would be remiss to not ask, What about you? The Word tells us that this moment awaits us all. And unfortunately, it isn't like you can open the calendar on your phone and say, man, that's the day it's coming. I better get things right before then. It could be today. I don't say that as a scare tactic because, I'll be honest, I don't think that works. I think you have to embrace the love and the grace and mercy of Jesus for it to count. To understand there's a debt that you can't pay. And it's not out of anger or anything like that, but a loving God from the beginning pages of your Bible, in other words, the beginning of all time, made a way that you don't have to stand before Him on your own one day. Can everybody look this way for a second? Let me tell you something with all sincerity. I love you, and there are some wonderful people out here. But if you stand before a holy God on your own merit, your own account, and say, I tried. I tried to be good. It's not good enough. That's no knock on you. That's just sin. That's the way sin works. The wages are death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But I can tell you this. There's going to be some straight up folks, and this is just God's math. This is the way He does things, and I'm glad because I've been a heathen at times. There's going to be some pure heathens that stand there that's been covered in the grace and mercy of Jesus, and He's going to look at them and He's going to say, my son, my daughter, come on in. Come on home. It's about Jesus. It's not about you. So I just want to say on behalf of my brother, I know that he would want to use today not to build him up, not just to tell stories about him, but to ask you the question, are you ready? If not, what a day. The Word tells us that just over one lost sheep coming home, coming back into the fold, heaven rejoices. Wouldn't it be awesome to think? You know where country's at today? What if somebody gave their heart and life to Jesus for the first time today? And that heaven rejoicing country's up there. Man, I'll see you again. I don't know how all that works, but I'm hoping that. I think that's a pretty cool picture this morning. Can I get you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me just a second? I just want us just to stop and think. I know this morning's heavy. It's heavy for me. I'll be honest, and I don't want to offend anybody by this. I really don't think salvation is this huge deal that we make it sometimes of come on down and, well, if you'll pray this right prayer and pray it just right, everything will work out okay. If this morning, right at your seat, right where you're at this morning, if you're standing, you're sitting, right now, this moment, if you just say, I believe that Jesus is enough. I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. Then, honestly, I just want to say I think it's done. I think God works in that. Forgive you of your sins and that it's done. It's paid for. Well, what does that do with the rest of your life? Is it calls you into this beautiful walk? Not a bunch of to-dos and not-dos. Yeah, those are there, but it's really all based out of a love of Jesus, a falling in love with Him. And then that alters our life. We can't help it. And Jesse will tell you this, that I love this statement. Jesus changes everything. So how could it not change your life? This morning, if you say, man, I don't know about this stuff. I've never thought about giving my heart and my life to Jesus. Would you consider it today? If you want to talk with somebody, it doesn't have to be me. You can grab somebody and just, man, pray with me. I want to know more about this. Today would be a beautiful day for that. I feel led by God to ask you in this way as well. Some of you have shut down that for a long time. And I'm not going to have anything to do with that. I don't believe that. That's just a fairy tale. I've been hurt too much by church or by religion or whatever it is. I don't know. I just feel led to say that. Today, I think He wants you just to say, Father. Just say, Father. Just let the conversation start there. Just say, Father, listen. I believe He speaks. I want to pray, and Jesse's going to play. Anybody thankful for Jesus this morning? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you from the beginning. It was not a angry, resentful, we'll never make it kind of thing in the garden. It really was a picture of love. It was a picture of this is too much. I can't let them live like this. I've got to make a way. It was not some panicked decision. It was already in play. God created just with free will, a free will in that moment to choose. And Father, I pray that we use that today to choose you. Speak to our hearts. For those who have blocked out this idea, I pray that just like I prayed just a second ago, Father, that they would just start with that one word, Father. God, you take this time, you use it as you see fit. We love you. We honor our friend. But again, we say that's too small a picture today. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. We love you and we pray it in his name. Amen.